Hey there. Welcome to the North Shore Church Podcast. We are delighted that you've decided to take this step of faith and join us for the next few moments together as we explore one of the messages from our Sunday morning gatherings or special event given to you by one of our pastors or special guests. We trust that you can connect with us through the show notes or through our website, thenorthshore.church.
We are in this series titled Prepare Today for Tomorrow's Promises. And so last week we talked about experiencing blessing in the middle of our suffering, or blessing in the pain, and blessing in our barrenness. And so this is all in the context of Isaiah chapter 54. And God gives this promise. And he says to the prophet to share to the people of God, get ready, I'm about to do something new. So prepare your tent, enlarge your tent. And so we'll read that scripture here in just a minute. But he writes this in a season of barrenness for Israel, in a season of darkness. And they're wandering as former slaves and under a rule of a foreign king. And they are somewhat hopeless. And God says, in the middle of your hopelessness, I want to do something new. I want to prepare you for what I have promised long ago and for the promises I'm about to share with you. So get ready. I'm about to do a new thing. And so this is the word that I believe God has given to our church this fall. He says, hold on tight. I'm about to do something new. And well, beautiful was it to hear you sing the words of our songs this morning. God, just shake down the walls of my traditions, my religions. So God, your way is better. And so we gather together as the church of Jesus and say, God, we want you to do what you do, and we want to be a part of what you're doing. And so whatever you have to do it, God, let us get out of the way and let us be your vessels and just do it. In a few minutes, I'm going to read the scripture from Matthew, and Jesus talks about wineskins, and you don't put new wine into old wineskins. And why don't you do that? Maybe you know. I'm going to just give it away right now. If you put old wine or new wine into old wineskins, what happens is you put it in there and the wineskin is already expanded from the previous wine that was in there. But as it ferments and as all of the gases and stuff grow, the sack or the wineskin grows. And then once you put new wine into that and you close it up, the new wine goes through the process again, but that sack has already been expanded. And so what happens, that sack then breaks and the wine is no longer any good because it's all over you, it's all over the table, it's all over the floor, so on and so forth. And so no one puts new wine into an old wineskin. God wants to do something new, which might mean the way you do things, the way you've always done things, might have to change or shift. And so this series is all about getting our heart in the right position with God, getting our position physically as a church. What does God want to do in the future? Get ready. Hold on tight, because God's about to do something new. We want to create space, and we are creating space for God to move, an increasing capacity for God to move. I believe, one, in my personal life. God, would you make room? Would you get rid of some of the old furniture? Bring in something new that you want to do. If there's something in my life, oh God, that's getting in the way of what you want to do, God, I want you to remove that by faith in Jesus' name. I also believe that God wants to increase his capacity in our families. It's going to flow out of your life. As God does something new in your life, those in your household, I believe, will be changed and transformed by this new thing that God is doing, and he will make room in our families. I said it already. I believe God's going to make room and a capacity in our church, and beyond that, it's going to flow, and God wants to do a new thing in our communities here on the North Shore. And so we want to make room and create space for God to move. You've probably heard this before, but to prepare simply means to make room for something that hasn't arrived yet. It's like painting the nursery before the baby arrives. Right? We know it's coming, but we are going to have faith and action and prepare for God to move. Isaiah 54:2 says this, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch forth the tent curtains wide, and do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. What's powerful here is that God is calling his people to prepare for blessing before it arrives. I don't know if you've ever been caught unprepared for something before, like the moose crossing in front of your car as you're driving 90 or 100 kilometers down the highway at dusk. I think of a time when that happened. And how do you prepare for that? Well, you're like me, you make sure you're wearing your glasses when you drive, because if I don't have them, I can't see much of anything. So I'm prepared. You're on the lookout for on the lookout for what's about to happen. What I learned the hard way is that you want to have good brakes in your vehicle when there is a moose about to jump in front of your car. I, flashing back to grade 12, driving my mother's car, highway from Sioux Lookout to Dryden, wasn't something uncommon. We would do that. We would leave Sioux Lookout at like midnight, and we would drive to Dryden just to go to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee because they were open 24 hours. That's how bored we were. But it wasn't even late. It was just, the sun was just sort of coming down. Oh, actually, it was August. It might have been a little bit late. But anyways, we're driving, and this the tall grass on the side of the highway, just coming over this hill, and just as we come over this hill, this big bull moose steps right out in front of us. And I slam on the brakes, as one does, and they see the moose. And it was the squealing of the tires that caused the moose to get out of the way. And we didn't hit the moose. The car was covered in things from the moose. And we're coming down the hill, and we kind of took this deep breath and went, well, that was a close one. And so heart's racing. Well, we come down the hill, and I hit the brake pedal again. And what happens? There's no brakes. So inadvertently of slamming on the brakes, they had been old lines, and a bunch of them just kind of blew up with that rush of brake fluid through them. And we had to decide in that moment, do we keep going or do we just turn around and limp it home? And he said, well, if we can limp home, we can certainly limp to Dryden and then drive home. So that's what we did, because why not? We said, you know what, and I know nothing of cars. And so this is why I go to Brandon, because Brandon knows things about cars. But we went to the Husky and dried and got some brake fluid, just put more brake fluid in, and then hit the brakes, and there's brake fluid all over the parking lot. So it was good times. But this is why I go to people like Brandon to fix my vehicle. And so one of the things that we do to prepare for tomorrow's blessings, and we tell this to pretty well every young person, is to get some sort of skill, trade, or go to college or university so that you will be prepared for what God has for you in the future. And so Brandon, the last couple years, has been traveling back and forth from Terrace Bay down to Southern Ontario for school to prepare for what God has for him in the future. And just this past week, he's sitting on the floor. We're going to stand up and show him off. But Brandon now officially wrote his test this week, passed his test, and is officially legal and licensed to do all the things that he does. And so, Brandon, we just praise God for you this morning. We thank God for walking with you through this journey. And what a great example for a season like this. Just a great example of this is how you prepare for what God wants to do in the future. And so we just pray God's blessing over you, Brandon and Katie. Thank you, Lord, for your hand of mercy and grace and joy and endurance and perseverance. And, Lord, even when it was hard to do so, Lord, you gave him the strength to continue on with the plans and purposes you have for his life. We pray that would only grow from this moment on and this moment forward. We believe that together in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we prepare for God's blessings today, even if they're not coming until tomorrow. Get ready, make room. God says, I am about to move. And I believe if God is asking you to enlarge your tent, it means he already sees people, he already sees opportunities, and he already sees blessings that he's sending your way or sending through you. And so don't wait for it to happen. Prepare for growth and watch what he does when we prepare. Now, I've got this picture. You've seen this a couple weeks now. It's on the bulletin board, this picture of a tent. Well, now we know that people in ancient times didn't have the houses that we have or the mobile homes even that we have. I mean, some of our campers that you can buy are nicer than the tents that people used to live in. And so this was obviously a very easy understanding of being able to expand your tent. If you want to put more people in the tent, you're going to need a bigger tent. How do you get a bigger tent? You actually have some wiggle room in some of these tents. You can begin to sew on to the tent. You can begin to add some patches to it. But if you do that, you're going to have to add some longer ropes or cords, as we read in Isaiah. And you're going to have to do some stretching, which Pastor Katie's going to talk about next week. Oh, everyone's going to love that message. I can feel it already. God, would you just stretch me, put me in uncomfortable places for you to move? Yeah, we all love that kind of prayer. But this is what growth looks like. This is what preparation looks like, doing the hard things even when we don't feel like it. Someone say amen to that. Amen. All right, now you're ready for Pastor Katie next week. But here's the reality, is that the capacity of the tent determines how many people are in the tent. When it comes to our spiritual lives, our capacity determines the blessings of God. Our capacity determines how much God is going to move. This morning, we took a step of faith. We prayed for the little boy, our little friend Jacob here this morning. If we don't have the faith to believe that God will heal him, then how will God heal him if we don't pray that God's going to heal him? Or for any of us, for that matter. Now, God does what God does, and God will do what God needs to do. Maybe he'll use somebody else if he's not going to use us because we're not willing. But praise the Lord, I want us to be willing for God to use us. I want us to be willing, and so that when people come through the North Shore communities and they are without hope and they find you at your workplace or they stumble upon our website or social media or they walk into church or they meet you on the street or see you in the coffee shop, as they encounter the presence of Jesus through you and through me and through us together, I pray that they would experience hope, sometimes maybe even for the very first time. Or at the very least, they would experience a renewed hope. Maybe someone that once knew Jesus, once became lost, and now is looking to be found again. I pray that we would be in the right place at the right time, that God would use us to demonstrate his blessings and his glory here on the North Shore of Lake Superior. But capacity determines blessing. If your faith is the size of a thimble, I believe that God will fill it. Amen. Now, today, the message is all about increase your capacity. I should have put the slide up earlier, then you can scan the code if you need to get the handout. If you're online, the handout's in the video description, but Tammy did such a good job handing them out. Looks like we ran out. You have to share with your neighbor. It's the end of the world. I know, we all want our own. It's all about me. That's just the way it is. I know. But I believe that if your faith is the size of a thimble or the smallest little canister there on the end, I believe that God can fill it. Now, I don't know why I use pictures of like a quarter and three quarters of the way full containers or canisters, but this is just the way it ended up. They should have all been full, right? That's the way that it would work. But we could go into another message of how God just fills us as much as he needs to for that moment, but that's a message for another day. This is where illustrations fall apart, but just pretend everything is full. It's full of either liquid or air, all of it's God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There you go, liquid. Is the substance, is Jesus, the canister is God, the air in is the Holy Spirit. There's your lesson on the Trinity today. We'll just leave it at that. And bonus lesson in the middle of the message. Ignore the picture, remember the principle. If God can fill a thimble, the size of a thimble, God can fill it. If you had a bucket, God can fill it. If you had a barrel, God can fill it. If you have a swimming pool, God can fill it. If you have an area, the space and size of Lake Superior, God can do what? God can
fill it.
Ooh. Some passion behind that one. Good job. Capacity determines blessing. Here's what enlargement or getting bigger means. Making room in your time for the people God will send. Making room in your life, making time in your life for the people that God will send your way. That means discipleship. Oh, would you pray for me? Would you explain this concept to me? I see that you went to church. I heard that you went to church. You told me you went to church. Can you tell me what that means? And all of a sudden, we kind of feel a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit. If we don't know the why, then I suggest we start to just determine and explore the why. You're welcome to talk to me about that any time of the day, but not the night. My wife will not let you. But make room and make time in your life for the people that God will send. That's how we expand our capacity. Let's just make it a little more personal. What does God want to do in your personal life? Ignore your family for a minute. If you could have any moment of the week where you can just pretend your family doesn't exist, and some of you are like, amen, hallelujah. If that's you, I got a great family counselor for you. Sometimes those feelings are real. I get it. But what does it look like to say, God, there's some things in my life that are causing barriers between me and you. You know, what are some of those walls that need to get broken down? What are some of the traditions? What are just some of the routines that I do that lead me nowhere? What are some of the habits that I have in my life that get me nowhere? Right? This is really the first step. For God to increase capacity, it has to start with me. And so I hate preaching because I get convicted as I write the sermon. I can't talk about that, God, because I'm feeling convicted. So let's ignore that one, God, and move on. Let's just talk about everybody else. It's like, Pastor, you should talk more about sin. Well, tell me about the sin in your life. How would you like God to deal with the sin in your life? Well, not my sin, Pastor. Everybody else's sin is what I'm talking about. Right? We don't like to get that personal, but God came to this earth to get that personal. God came to this earth to get that real with us. And by the way, the enemy's going, like, you don't want to talk about that because it's full of shame, it's full of pain. He says, you got to just shove that down. You got to keep that darkness in the dark places. And God says, I have come as the light of the world. I've come to bring light to darkness. I don't want you to feel that shame and that sorrow and that suffering anymore. Because as we talked about last week, if we stay in the pain, our pain leads us to slavery, and we stay in that slavery, and we're never set free unless we actually give it to God. So God, as the song Amazing Grace says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. If that is just your prayer, would you just say that again, maybe as you leave here today? God, I am lost, and I want to be found. That might be the simplest prayer that you can pray to allow God just to have a little bit more space in your life to do something new. I could spend a whole series just on that, but we won't, because it's everything we talk about comes down to that personal relationship with Jesus. But enlargement as a community, in your family, in our church, what does making increasing capacity look like? What does getting larger look like? It means making time and space for others. Sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, it's not at the convenient time. Now, if you are smart and you're strategic and preparing, you will make room in your calendar and say, you know what? And maybe this is just the challenge that you need. Maybe you're kind of on this line of things. So, you know what? I haven't really talked to anybody about my faith in a while. So why don't I pray about that? Why don't I put that on the calendar? And I think I don't know if I have my blessed card. There's a table at the back there where offering table exists. We have these little blue cards. It's called a blessed card. And it's just people that we're praying for. And so maybe we have to get another card, or maybe we have to expand the card, or maybe we just have to like dig it out of our Bibles, out of our wallet, or maybe it fell on the floor of your vehicle, or maybe you're like some people who put it on the coat rack before you leave church and you left it here. That's okay, that happens. But maybe we just need to go back to the card and go, okay, who do I need to talk to this week about Jesus, about faith, about new life? Who's someone that I need to reach out to? Next week, as we talk about stretching, doing uncomfortable things, making room or enlargement means expanding your willingness to serve in new ways. Well, God, I hate kids, so I really shouldn't serve in the kids' ministry. Maybe that's your reason to serve in the kids' ministry, and you will just begin to see how much God loves the children. And you have to go and pause and go, God, I'm so glad you love the children because I don't. Has anyone ever felt, I'm not that person. Has anyone ever felt that way? Like, just, you can give me a wink or something, that's fine. But kids are a lot sometimes. Like, my belly hurts. That's great. I'm sorry to hear that. Did you have something to drink? Did you have something to eat? Did you eat something you shouldn't have eaten? Do you need to go have a sit for a little while? Like, I don't know. Just get over it. Just be better. And that doesn't work for kids. You can't just tell them to get over it. And I'm told, I'm so excited for my kids to get a little bit older, right? Like, they get out of diapers, and you're like, thank the Lord, no more diapers, no more bears in my yard stealing the diapers and all of this stuff. And you're thankful for the fact that they grow up a little bit, but then the problems get bigger. And I'm like, oh, they're such a fun age right now. Like, Lord, if they could stay at this age, I would be so happy. Because they're about to get a little bit older. And, you know, it's just going to be like, that boy doesn't like me anymore. And I, all of that stuff. Pray for me. It's coming. And I'm just going to stand there and be like, just get over it. And my wife's going to armor, you know, it's just going to be one of those things. But God, would you just give us a love for people, a love for our kids, a love for our community that you haven't given to us yet, or we just haven't received yet, or we haven't opened our eyes to yet. I better move along because I got some good notes to get to, and I don't want to take Pastor Katie's message next week either. But here's another practical example of just enlarging your prayer life so that it goes beyond your own needs. I'm not saying don't pray for the needs of yourself, the needs of your family. I'm just saying expand the horizons of your prayer life. And don't ignore your own needs as well, because we all need Jesus as much today as we did yesterday. I don't know who said this quote or statement, but somebody said it, and it was powerful. It says, I need Jesus just as much on my best day as I do my worst day. That's how grace works. That's how the grace of God works, is that we all need his grace, and we all need it the same. There's not something that's worse than the other thing. We all need Jesus the same. There is not one of us that is perfect. And so we just live in this reality. I need Jesus on my best day as much as I did on my worst day. And so, God, would you expand my horizons in my prayer life so that I can pray beyond my own needs, but I can pray for the life of, and health of others. If you look at the word study of the word enlarge in Isaiah 54 is Rahab, to broaden, to make wide, to expand. Some of the other related words are Gadal, to grow, to become great, and then Rabbah, to increase, to multiply. All of these three words sort of come together to give us our series and our message and gives us this passage. And so we could say, God, would you broaden? Would you make wide? Would you expand so that we could grow to become great, so that we could increase to multiply? And so it's not great for our sake, it's great for God's sake. Lord, it's not bigger for our sake, it's bigger for your sake. Even the early church fathers saw enlarge as a metaphor for spiritual growth, for the mission of the church. And it's not about building our own kingdom. It's not so that we can, you know, get a bunch of people in our church. We can build this beautiful, brand new building and castle and tower and all of these things and create the kingdom of North Shore Church. Or, God, would you make my life better so I can have the kingdom of Gary? That would be like, we can have our peasants and we can have jesters and we can have knights. Oh, who doesn't want to have a knight to guard your castle at home? Anybody? The bears are going to come. It's okay. I got a knight. He's got a spear. He's got a ball and a chain with a spiky ball on it and all of these things. Who doesn't want that? These are the images that come to my mind when I think kingdom, of course. These are not the ideas of God's kingdom. But the point is this, is that enlargement is always tied to God's faithfulness and God's promises for the purpose of God's kingdom. We grow because God wants to see more people know him. We grow and we multiply because God wants his grace to be known by all people. Young men, young women, old women, children, babies, senior citizens, those in an old age home. God wants to know each and every one of you. And he does that when we make space for God to move among us. In Genesis, we have some examples here that all come through Scripture. In Genesis, God enlarged Abraham's territory. It wasn't just more dirt under his feet. God promised Abraham that he would have descendants and influence, and his influence and his descendants wouldn't be for his benefit as great as it would be, but it would be as a blessing to the nations. The enlargement for Abraham was about legacy. For us, it means thinking generationally. Raising kids who love Jesus, mentoring kids who love Jesus, mentoring new believers, old believers, young leaders, investing in others so our faith doesn't die, but it multiplies. If you ever find that your faith gets kind of boring and mundane and maybe you get a little bit crusty, go spend some time with a new Christian, because maybe you've been living in a little too much grace and you have some that's overflowing and needs to go to somebody else. Go spend some time with someone who doesn't love Jesus, and you will realize just how much they need Jesus. Think generationally. Think beyond yourself. It may not be an acreage, but it might be influence in your workplace, in your community, or maybe just simply influence within your family as your kids watch you, as your parents watch you, as your spouse or siblings watch you. Grow in your faith. There is something contagious about falling in love with Jesus and experiencing life change and transformation. Like, I don't know if you know this, like transformation is very much, I don't want to call it addictive, but it's very much catches the eye. It's very much causes curiosity and very much is contagious. Keep moving through the Old Testament. We get to the book of Deuteronomy, and enlargement was tied to land flowing with milk and honey. After years of wandering and scarcity in the desert, Israel was stepping into a season and a place of abundance. Enlargement meant provision, freedom, and flourishing. Jesus says, I came to bring you new life, and I came to bring you not just new life, but abundant life. I believe that God wants you to bless you the same way that he blessed Israel with the land, so that the land and Israel could be a blessing to the nations, the same promise he gave to Abraham. God wants to fill your life with blessings, not so you can build a bigger castle and have a bigger house. So if God gives you a bigger house, that's fine too. But he wants to do it so that he can use it to be a blessing to your family, to the future generations. He does it so you can be a blessing to the world around you. You want to know a little bit more about that? Read the parable of the talents, another message from Jesus. Application. God may be leading you out of a wilderness season where you've been surviving. I hate the word survive. Like, I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you're surviving. But God didn't save you just so you could survive. God made you and saved you so that you could thrive. The enemy wants to come, rob, kill, steal, and destroy, take everything that you love away from you. But by golly, if I could steal that term this morning, God wants you to thrive. He doesn't want you just to get by. We go through seasons where we have to trust God daily to provide for our needs. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But God saved you so that you could thrive. It doesn't mean you have to have a lot. There's a verse that Paul talks about in Corinthians. He says, for whatever state that I find my... Maybe it's not Corinthians. You can tell me later. He says, whatever state I find myself in, I will be content because Jesus is more than enough for me. That's the heart of the verse that he's sharing. He says, it doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. With Jesus, I have more than enough. He will sustain me. That doesn't mean you have to have a lot. Sometimes it's a heart posture perspective thing. But I know that God designed us and saved us to thrive. The enemy wants you to fail. And if getting by and scraping by, that's good enough for him because you're not thriving, that'll do. But God wants you to thrive. We jump ahead a few books of the Bible. We get to Psalms. There's many, many of them. Psalm 119:32. David prays this prayer. God, would you enlarge my heart? Sometimes enlargement isn't an outward, but an inward prayer and focus. God, I said this already, give us the capacity to love more deeply, to endure more faithfully, and walk with greater joy and strength. God, would you increase the size of my heart? And how many of you are instantly thinking of the Grinch who stole Christmas? Like, we see this crusty old Grinch on the mountain above Whoville, and you've probably seen the movie or read the book. You've probably seen the remake of the movie, and you've probably seen the remake of the remake of the movie. And we know that, yes, things externally can touch our heart, but the only way to really truly make it grow is from the love of God. And so we pray the prayer of David, God, would you enlarge my heart? Maybe your tent doesn't need to be stretched just yet on the outside. Maybe it's what's happening on the inside. God, I need a little bit more patience. We can go back to the summer, the Fruit of the Spirit series. God, I need a little bit more kindness. Would you increase my capacity for joy? Maybe you just need to practice smiling until you just do it. Like, just walk around like this. I know it's kind of weird and creepy, but just do it. If you need to practice smiling, just practice smiling for some of you. It just needs to happen. Maybe you just need compassion for the neighbor that drives you crazy. Don't put up your hand. Anyone have a... I'm going to close my eyes. Two-part question here. Anybody here have a passive-aggressive neighbor? Or anyone here a passive-aggressive neighbor? Like, they cut the grass, but they leave that one little strip between the property. Anyone have neighbors like that? Like, I have. I'm so glad I don't. But I have. Not here. Praise God for that. But God, would you just give me a little bit more grace to show to people like that? Or one of the big ones is forgiveness. How many love when you're forgiven? Like, those are amazing words, right? How hard is it for us to say, before we even utter the words from our mouth, but in our innermost being, how hard is it for us to say, I forgive you for what you've done to me? And that's hard for us because forgiveness feels like we're letting the person off the hook. It's like you're getting away with murder is what it feels like. But I tell you what, they're not. What forgiveness does, it doesn't let the other person off the hook. And we can get into the whole judgment seat of God and the mercy of God, and we can do that another day. But God knows. But what forgiveness does, it doesn't let the other person off the hook. Forgiveness sets you free. Every time you hold on to the pain and every time you take on this perspective of a victim and you never learn to trust God and let God bring healing to your life, when you hold on to that unforgiveness, it's actually a sign of weakness and a lack of faith that God is going to take care of you. And I know that it's hard, it's painful. Some of you have walked through some really incredibly dark seasons in your life. Some of you have come through incredibly dark valleys. Some of you have gone through unimaginable suffering and pain. And God has set you free from that. But what happens inside your heart, if you want to experience a full freedom, you have to learn and ask the Spirit to give you the strength to forgive. It's not forgive and forget, by the way. I mean, how many of your parents told you, just forgive and forget, it'll be all okay? I remember making a list with my friends. Let's lighten the mood a little bit. 10, 11-year-old Gary with his friends playing. There was this one girl. She was the pastor's kid, and she was being mean one day. And we were writing a list down. Like, we're going to get her. We're going to go to my friend's mom who's babysitting us all today, and we're going to give her this list, and she's going to be in so much trouble, and it's going to be awesome. We literally start writing down this list, and we hand it to my friend's mom, and I don't know what she must have thought of us at the time. But we learned all about forgiveness that day, and we went, we don't want that. We want her to get in trouble. We don't want her to have the cake and eat it too. We want her cake. Kind of have a bit of a hissy fit, and that's what we do. Still, I don't want them to get away with it. It's not about that. It's about experiencing the peace of God in a way that brings transformation to both your heart, soul, and your mind. There is nothing greater than experiencing the peace of God in the middle of a storm and troubled circumstance. Maybe your tent doesn't need to be expanded or stretched on the outside just yet. Maybe God's just working on something in your heart right now, just saying, let it go. The only one who ever really truly forgets is God himself. And we can trust and know and believe that when we confess our sins to God and he forgives us of our sins, the word tells us he cast it as far as the east is from the west. I don't know if you've ever experienced the distance, but it's a never-ending distance. Other verses said it's to the bottom of the ocean. I don't know if you know this, but we still haven't discovered parts of the bottom of the ocean yet. And if we ever do, I can guarantee you that the sins aren't even there because they have disappeared because God has forgotten them. But for us, we remember. And we remember really well. We remember the pain. Our bodies, they physically remember the tragedies and the hardships that they've gone through. There's muscle memory that exists. And so some of us, we see counselors and therapists, and that's wonderful. But when it comes to our heart, we ask God, would you bring healing? And healing comes from forgiveness. And so when we ask God to give us the strength to forgive, and we forgive, and we're set free, and we're at peace, we still remember. And so with those moments when we remember, and our body remembers, we go through it all over again and say, God, give me the peace, give me the strength, give me the courage to overcome yet again. You've heard the words of the disciples and talking with Jesus and him being questioned. Well, you know, how many times are you supposed to forgive your brother? And it's been taught in Scripture and through the law, it should be 7 times 7. And if you ever grew up watching VeggieTales, you know that the little vegetable pipes up and Jesus says, you got to forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And anybody know what 70 times 7 is? And everybody who watched VeggieTales growing up said, 490. Just like that. That's exactly how little Laura Gord or Peach, whatever character she was, said it. But Jesus didn't say forgive 490 times. Like that 400 and I can't wait to 491. I don't have to forgive. I can't wait to 491. I don't have to forgive. I'm a little bit excited this morning, apparently. It's good. I haven't even had any coffee yet. It's sitting there getting cold. I don't even have sugar. My coffee is always black. We can't wait to 491. That's not forgiveness. No, 70 times 7. Just don't worry about how many times, because every time it comes up in your memory, every time it comes up in your mind, take the deep breath, say the prayer, God, give me the strength, give me the courage so that I can forgive again and again and again and again. If you want God to move and expand in your life, ask him, like David prayed in Psalm 119, verse 32, God, would you enlarge my heart? Would you increase my capacity to love? Would you increase my capacity to forgive? Zoom ahead, post the writing of Scripture. Early church fathers, enlargement was all about spiritual growth, the growing and stretching of the soul to contain more of God's presence and love. In our lives today, this might mean God just stretching our faith. That's next week's message. I've said it a few times now. You might not even have to come if I keep saying it. But please, Pastor Katie would like you to be here because God's given her a powerful word for next week. But maybe God's nudging you into something new, and I pray as your pastor, it's not for you to leave and go to another town or province. But sometimes that's what God does. And we'll bless you as you do that. But as we stretch into uncomfortable places, maybe God's calling you just to step into a position of leadership, step into a new ministry. Maybe he's calling you to step back from a position of leadership so that you can do something different. Maybe he's calling you to be a bold witness. Enlargement means you can hold more of God's mission in your life. Enlargement means you can hold more of God's mission in your life. To sum it up, Abraham's enlargement was about multiplication. Israel's was about increase. David's was about spiritual growth. The church's enlargement was all about expansion of the gospel and the mission, this new full gospel that you could actually know God. When God calls us to large, he's not just talking about giving us more. He's preparing us to hold more. Be more responsible, more opportunity, more blessing, and use it for his glory. A bigger tent is always a partnership with God's faithfulness. A bigger tent is not something we create and build on our own. It's a partnership with the Holy Spirit is preparing to do. A bigger tent is always about God and his faithfulness. I think we got a few minutes here. Let's talk about some of the barriers. I know I mentioned unforgiveness, spent a lot of time on that. But let's talk about some physical barriers. This is an easy one. So I'm thinking back, growing up, so you look out, our church was started in 85 or 86 or something like that, before I was born, believe it or not. I know I look old, but I'm not. But when they were looking for land, nowhere in town was available. More rather, the council of the community wasn't willing to zone land for a church because it would mean they would lose tax revenue from that business or property. And I think it was a town councilor, he piped up, he's like, this is a conflict of interest, but like the pastors in the church would go to these meetings time and time again. And finally, this guy would pipe up in the meeting and he would just say, is there not anywhere, actually maybe it would have been the mayor, he said, is there not anywhere in this town we can give these people property for a church? And this other guy pipes up and says, this is a total conflict of interest, but I could sell them some land. It's not worth that much. The revenue for taxes isn't that high, but we could sell them that land. We could zone it for the church, and that could be the property that they could have in the community for the church. And kind of broke some rules, but God made a way when there wasn't seemingly to be a way to increase their capacity. And so they're celebrating God's faithfulness. Well, the property they bought used to be a dairy farm. And so the other churches in town started calling our church the Church of the Holy Cow because Pentecostal church, Holy Spirit, used to be cows, and that's the nickname they got. Well, they were all excited. They started breaking ground for adding on a sanctuary and a basement for kitchen and classrooms and whatnot. They started digging. Instantly, they hit a rock. Well, when you're digging as a kid with your shovel in the backyard or where you're supposed to be digging holes, and you hit a rock, what do? You dig around the rock and you pull it out. Well, as they dug around the rock, they realized this wasn't just a rock, this was bedrock. You can't move bedrock unless you got something that goes boom. And so, anyways, they didn't have money for that. So, they came up with a creative strategy and they said, well, we'll just add some stairs and we'll build over the rock. And we all know that we want to have a firm foundation, build on the rock. It's a nightmare for accessibility issues, but by golly, we built a building and there's stairs. So they got over one barrier just to create another, of course. If you have mobility issues, walking into our own church this morning probably felt a little bit difficult coming up stairs or going down to the basement. We'll figure that out one day. God will give us the right answer to that solution and the right resource to fill that in. These are just physical ones. Physical barriers for new people coming to church. We can spend a lot of time on this, but where you sit matters to people. One of the best ways to have new people come to church is to bring them with you and you can sit with them. But like the grace of God is really big because these wonderful people here, they're new to our church and look where they're sitting in the front row. Now, if I asked Adrian and Amanda if they wanted to sit in the front row this morning, I'm not going to look. They'd probably say, no, we didn't want to sit in the front row this morning. Maybe we just need to add another row. Maybe they did because there's a full empty row behind them. But you're not on camera. I'm going to highlight you guys because we love you. But you should know by now I pick on people I love and we like. So if I didn't pick on you, you should get worried, Diana. I'm picked on. I never pick on Diana. I don't want to get the wrong idea. So, but I think of the story of our own church as we come out of our 50th anniversary, right? We had a house meeting in Scriber. Living room got too small. Well, actually, the living room didn't change size at all. The people got, there was too many people. So they went to the Laybourne's living room. They had a bigger living room, and that got too small. And so where did they go from there? The public school gym. Well, that was great until they didn't turn the heat on in the wintertime. I would just love to know what the school board was thinking as they did not turn the heat on for the church Sunday mornings in the middle of January. Like, that was just a wild story to me from one of our founding pastors. So, of course, this creates barriers, and so God provides solutions to those barriers. He says, I'm going to give you a building, I'm going to give you land, and we heard all of those stories. God provided us a place to grow, a place for his presence to be known. Where we sit, how we engage with others, our patterns themselves can limit capacity. How the room feels, how it smells, if we have dead rodents in the attic, you know, these are barriers that we need to deal with. I don't know if you drove this morning to church, the parking lot's a little bit bumpy, we'll figure it out, right? These are, you know, we'll figure it out along the way. I'm just going to stop. Let's get at some of the spiritual barriers, because all the other stuff, I think we can come up with a solution, no problem. God will provide the right resource. And as I get to some of the spiritual barriers, the answer is the same. God has already provided a solution for us. God has already made a way. But in case you need me to list them because you're not thinking of them, I already talked about unforgiveness. We already talked, actually, and we actually demonstrated faith or a lack of faith. We call that doubt. But doubt can be a barrier to capacity. Well, God would never. There's no way God could ever use me. Let's start personal. You know, have you met my family? Have you seen where I grew up? Did you see where I come from? There's no way that God, doubt is a barrier to the faith. You know, God, why would you want to heal me? Because I love you. You're my son or my daughter. That's why. And that's a good enough reason. How about God, why didn't you heal me? Because I have a better plan for your life. Well, I don't like that answer, God. Well, too bad. Right? It's not quite, it's a little more loving than that. That's my answer. Lack of faith, doubt, a barrier to what God wants to do. Talked about building in the right places. We listen to the lies of the enemy. That doesn't build our faith on a firm foundation. We live in this place of scraping by again, coming back to that. I'm not good enough. Why would God ever want to? God doesn't want to. These are all lies of the enemy. And if we start to repeat them, we start to believe them. So stop repeating them. When you hear that thought, write it down, burn the paper, rip it up, throw it in the garbage, whatever you got to do, flush it down the toilet, whatever, to take the lie just as a symbol and say, it's gone. Because that's not who God created you or made you to be. One of the other barriers, and we don't like talking about this one, we addressed it a little bit already, but unconfessed sin. The things in our life that we're not ready to trust God with yet because we're afraid of what people might think. We're afraid of the shame that we feel. Well, God didn't come and send his son so that we could feel shame. The shame that you feel is not from God. It's another lie from the enemy who comes to do what? Not to lift you up, not to help you out, but to seek you out, to kill you and destroy you. And it does this through the unconfessed sin in our life. I'm not asking you to stand up in front of church and tell everybody your laundry list. But I am telling you to stand before God while you have the chance and say, God, would you take this from my life? I am tired of living this path of darkness. I'm tired of keeping it a secret. I'm tired of creating lies to get around it. God, would you take this shame and unconfessed sin, and would you wash it white as snow? Would you wash me white as snow? Would you take it as far as the east is from the west? Because that's how much you love us, God. When we overcome some of these spiritual barriers, we start building a solid foundation. And there's going to be moments, right? We're going to have the storms. They're going to come. The lies of the enemies are going to come. But as we stand on the solid rock, when those storm comes, they will not take us out. They won't take us over. We will be okay. And the things that aren't solid, they'll get washed away, and God will rebuild, and he'll rebuild it even better than it was before. Because we put our feet and our faith on the solid rock of Jesus. I have a bunch of other notes. We'll talk about them another time. You might have them in the handout. But all that to say is sometimes there's times where we need to learn how to fail, and I hate failing. I hate not getting it right the first time. But if we want to enlarge our capacity to serve others, we need to create safe places for people to fail. And we need to be the ones full of grace, full of mercy, full of God's love to demonstrate what reconstruction looks like. I'll just leave that with you this morning. Finally, God wants to do a new thing. It might mean doing things differently than you did them before. I talked about new wineskins. Let me just read the verse of Scripture, Matthew 9:16, and we'll close with this morning. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. I'm flashing back to my grandmother stealing my jeans when I'd visit her house in Thunder Bay. And she would patch the holes, and they never felt the same. I'd rather have the holes than feel the uncomfortable feeling of the patch. Apparently, she didn't read the Bible enough. But no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. That's the point of capacity. God wants to pour out new wine, but are we willing to become new wineskins? And you think, well, I can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, by the way, the whole point of the word change on the wall and transformation that we believe in is that God makes us new again and again and again and again. We're not who we used to be, so we have the capacity to be who God calls us to be because he's made us something new. And I leave all of that with you this morning as we go from this place, and as we get ready for what God's going to do in your life this afternoon, let me pray a prayer of blessing over you as we get ready to depart. God, our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the holiness of who you are and the holiness of your name. Lord, the heart of this message in this series really is, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we trust you will give us everything that we need, from our daily bread to our weekly bread. And Lord, you will give us everything we need to survive and thrive all the days of our life. God, would you help us in some of these areas that we need help in? Would you help us to forgive, Lord, as you have forgiven us? Would you help us to serve those who need to be served? Would you help us show your love, your grace, your compassion to those around us? God, this morning I just pause and I pray, and I don't say these phrases very often, but God, would you give us the capacity to love ourselves the way that you love us? Lord, when we look in the mirror, we would see what you see. Lord, may we remember that we are your sons and your daughters first. And that's the final word. Lord, we know that through our confession of sin and our perseverance of all things that are righteous according to you and your word, Lord, we know that you have adopted us into your family and you want to pour out on us every spiritual blessing, Lord, in heaven and on earth. And so, Lord, while it might feel like we're unworthy, which we are, we're thankful for Jesus today who makes us worthy to be a part of your family. And so, God, would you help us love ourselves and to love you just a little bit more today as you increase our capacity for what you want to do next. We thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.